All right, welcome back to the podcast. You guys are probably going to hear my stomach rumbling the whole time. I just heard it start going. Today we got Drake on, and what we're going to be chatting about is, you know, what he's kind of done this year with Level 2 and what they're doing going into the 2024 game season. So Drake's taken over Level 2 programming, coaching, and that's his program that he really runs. And this year we're doing things a little bit differently, and we don't chat about it that much on the podcast. So he's really for our competitive side of the gym, which a lot of people, you know, who follow the gym and are interested in what we do, you know, what got CrossFit Grandview on their radar is our, you know, competitive nature of this gym, how we place in competitions, you know, going to regionals, games, all that type of stuff. And Drake's really leading the charge, and we have a phenomenal group, one of the best ones we've ever had in there right now. And, you know, we're looking at possibly having like two quarterfinal teams, things like that this year. So I think Drake, what I'll just kind of turn over to you right now to start is, you know, what have you done this year? And then what's the plan? And I know like we're going to have maybe some things going on, you know, starting next week, you know, with the season, you know, so what have you guys done this year? Maybe even like you could share like local comps, how you guys have competed since semifinals last year. And what's the plan kind of for 2024?
Yeah, well, first, I think this year we started out real small, and now we've kind of gained, like, we have full classes every day, and people are hanging out outside of class. People are going to local comps outside of class. During the summertime, almost like every weekend, people were at comps to get together. We did a couple, like, local big ones. We had a couple masters go to like the Masters Collective, yeah, all that kind of stuff. The Legends Championship, which will be the Masters Games next year. Yep. So we went around the local place all year. Next year, we're trying to get more to like the bigger comps, like the Wadapalooza, yep, that kind of stuff. But with the season, next week, we start deciding on who's on the team. Because in the past, we did the Open, and then the Open decided the team, and then we did individual quarterfinals and then team. But now with the team quarterfinals being before individual and the possibility of two teams, we need to decide before the Open.
Yeah.
So starting Monday, we're doing last year's quarterfinals and just in-house, in-class competition. Whoever wins is going to be on team one. Whoever gets next place, it gets on team two, and everyone else just going to kind of watch and hang out for the party this year.
Yeah, that's, I love that way of doing it. You know, that's, we've always sorted that out in the past and, you know, have people compete for their spots. And I've always, it really takes the, I think it takes some of the drama and then just the, you know, subjectiveness to it. It's like, hey, you have to, CrossFit at the end of the day, it's a performance sport. You know, this isn't like we've got a 38-year-old quarterback in there and he's got experience. Like, we got a stopwatch on you. You know, you're lifting a certain amount of weight. You're hitting times. Like, it's as much as the events are nuanced and there's different things, like, you have to be able to run that track race in a certain amount of time. And if you're not fit to do that right then, like, we got to go with the guy who is. So I love that that's the way that we're doing it.
Yeah, and the other thing is it's not on your schedule. Like, with the season, every year it changes. You have no idea what time of year it's going to be, when it's going to be. So what we're doing next week is you have to do a certain workout this day and then a certain workout this day. You can't change it up based off of what you're feeling, that kind of stuff. You have, yeah, to be able to compete, and you'll be able to perform that day of what we tell you. And that will get you ready for come quarterfinals and come Open, when we don't know what the workouts are. We don't know when we're going to have to do them. We just know that you have to show up. You have to do your best. And that's got to be the best.
That's great. And then what, from a training standpoint, I've been watching you guys. You know, I coach the noon class right next to what you guys are doing. You know, just from like a training protocol standpoint, you know, I can tell you guys are starting to ramp it up, you know, doing barbell cycling, box jump overs, wall climbs. So are you starting to really ramp people up for the open right now? Is that kind of the thought process?
Yeah. So before this little cycle, we did a more strength. So it was a lot of just main lifts, accessories, and maybe one Metcon a day. Now we start class with a Metcon. Then you go into a skill piece, which is basically feels like a Metcon, barbell cycling, gymnastics stuff. And then you end class with a Metcon. And then there's another like little zone two piece and some accessories at the end. So we're trying to kind of put strength stuff a little bit to the side. We're trying to maintain it, but we're getting our races ready to go. We're trying to go fast. We're trying to breathe really heavy, feel all that stuff. Like it's hard in class now. It's an hour straight of moving. Now.
I can tell. And it's, you know, for some people coming off the holidays, that can be rough. You know, we're only 2 weeks out from
a
couple real long weekends, you know, where people are sitting around eating and drinking and things like that. So, you know, not being that far out from it, that can be, this is the time to do it. So I can see everyone really ramping up fast for the open, which is right around the corner. And, you know, moving into the open, I think what's cool, and we discussed this before, and this has always been a big part of the gym. So if you're just listening to this, you haven't listened to the podcast, whether or not you're competing in the open, if you want to help judge or just watch the show, the level two guys on Saturdays, when we do the open, we're going to run the open workout for all the Saturday classes. But at 11 and noon, we have a DJ come in and then we run it in heats. Similar to like what you'll see at a competition, the other classes will run it as a class. We're going to do a full warm up. We'll talk about the skill and then we'll have basically two heats and we'll flip flop them. From 11 to noon, we're going to have self warm ups. It's going to be similar to how you would run a competition and it's a little bit more of an event style. And then in that noon time is when the level two people are going to come out and the guys who are really pushing for elite times and things like that. So it's kind of a show. You get to watch people push these workouts, hit huge lifts, you know, that are doing it, you know, they're putting a whole year of work into it and you get to see a whole year of work culminate in to like an exhausted athlete, you know, hitting like a max clean and jerk, you know, those moments are so fun to watch. And just so to put that on you guys' radar, like, I really encourage you to just like come in street clothes and watch that, because that energy is hard to describe unless you're there.
Yeah. Well, and like you said, these people have trained all year with this. So at noon, we'll have both teams go head to head to see who's going to win, who's the better team. So there's a lot of pride on that noon time. So it's going to be very loud, very entertaining to watch.
Yeah. Yeah, that's going to be really fun. We've had some really cool moments in the open, just in the history of our gym. We had several athletes, two athletes finish a workout that ended, it was a super long grinding workout, and it ended in, you know, two athletes right near the buzzer hitting 265-pound squat snatches 1 year with a crowd of 80 people going bonkers. And, you know, we've had things like that, that, you know, that was shared by CrossFit and got a million views. So just know that these are moments like that they're worth coming to like any other sporting event. Another thing is we have during that open time too, the Arnold, do you know what week just off the top of your head?
Oh,
you guys know when the Arnold's going to be? I know it. I think it is during the open. First week of March. So week one of the open.
First week. Yep.
First week of the open. Again, that's going to be a great time to be around the gym. We'll have athletes from the Arnold competing. Typically we'll have some games athletes, whether they're training or competing around. The girl, Emma Lawson, who got second in the CrossFit Games, kind of hung out all weekend and was training and judging people doing the open last year. The Buttery Bros, who do, you know, they used to be CrossFit's media team. Now they do their own documentaries. They bring all types of celebrities. They were going to have like, they didn't end up, they weren't able to get him, but like Thor from like Game of Thrones was going to come in and do an open workout. But they got like Juju, I can't remember.
Juju Mufu.
Yes. He came in and did an open workout. You know, Matt Frazier came by. Justin Medeiros. So, I mean, these are like the biggest names in the sport of CrossFit. These type of guys are coming by. Knock on wood, you know, I've been in contact. I believe they'll probably come back. This is kind of their home gym now. They've been here the last 3 years. So planning on them possibly coming back for it. And then, you know, when we're done with the open, we will have our spring social too. And that'll be March 16th. As far as that sounds like it's out, it'll be here before we know it. Mm-hmm. You know, the weeks will start really rolling by. But yeah, I'm really excited for this group. How many people do we think we have doing level two on a routine basis? 50 now?
Yeah, up there. Yeah. With the classes. I mean, classes are basically full, so we got three of those a day, which are, I mean, like 10 to 15 per, and then in the morning time and stuff like that.
So you probably have it. We probably have over 50 if we have, you know, if we're cycling 40 through, classes. So we probably have 60. That's a great, might be our healthiest group yet. So yeah, we have a great group in there, and that training environment that you've created in there is something really, really special. You know, I saw a girl, she had been here years ago, named Laura, and I think a movement that kind of held her back from competing as well as she wanted to was ring muscle ups. And I've seen her like crushing those now. And like, she's training in that group regularly. And that was probably like her, that goat movement of hers to like get through, and that group and that training environment's helped push her to like another height, you know, I'm sure she's never hit, you know.
We just retested 20.5. So that was the, it was 40 ring muscle ups.
Yep.
80 cal row, 120 wall balls, split up however you want. And when she first did it, she couldn't get a single one. And of Saturday, she did 20 of them.
That's incredible.
Yeah.
Very cool. And what's cool too is there's a mixed group of people in there. The way you've leveled it off, we have masters athletes in there, mm-hmm. like Maddie. You know, we have what's also cool is athletes that I've seen sustain this, like Julianne. You know, she's been doing competitive CrossFit since 2010 for sure. Maybe even before that, but I know definitely I remember judging her at like that HyperFit competition that we went to in Michigan in 2010. And then she was on CrossFit SBC's team. I believe at regionals that year. And I know the next year they got second at the games. So, you know, we're talking, the years are flying by. That's like
13 years
ago. Wow. You know? Wow. Yeah. Yeah. She was a teenager back then.
Yeah.
So I saw her, it was some masters competition or something. I was like, Julianne's a masters athlete. She's 31.
She's 31. It was a baby master.
Yeah. I'm like, that's not like a math. I'm like, that doesn't make sense. She's like a kid still, but 31. Yeah. She's been doing this for a while. But to watch her still thrive and have fun with it is really neat. And it's that group training environment that you've created. And what I love about it is, you know, there's something to be, you have to be able to train on your own and with some focus. But I saw it was kind of a hot take, and I want to know your thought process on it. It's at the beginning of the end for a lot of athletes, especially competitive ones in CrossFit or semi-competitive ones, especially is when they stop working out with people and then they're running, they're in the corner on an app. They said that's the beginning of the end. Like they had some timeline on it. It was like they've got a year left until they're like burnt, and then they just try and find something else that they like to do. And I never thought about it that way. And what it really got me thinking, I was like, all the things that made them probably fall in love with CrossFit, like making friends, learning these new skills, like kind of this competitive environment. Like they're competing in a sport day to day, almost like you're in a sports practice. Cause even when you're like scrimmaging in basketball or whatever it is, you're kind of competing. You basically take all of that away to gain a competitive advantage to this like distant competition. Oftentimes for a lot of these people, they're not even doing competitions. They're maybe someday want to, and then you extrapolate that out 6 months. And then it's just like, I'm doing max effort, like burpee box jump overs in the corner of a cold room by myself. And this is the sixth week in a row that I've done this. I'm not having fun anymore.
Well, and it's a group of like-minded people. Like L2 right now, especially, there's a lot on the docket a day.
Yeah.
Like if you do all of it, and I mean, over half the people are, the people that are serious about it are, they're doing 2 to 3 hours of work on top of class.
Yeah.
And so if you go to work for 8 hours and you think in your phone and you see that you have like 3 hours of work after, you're tired, you don't want to do it. Nobody wants to do that. But if you know that there are people there that you just say, hey, you want to come hit this piece, they definitely will.
Yeah.
Or if you do it inside class, you know that no matter if you want to be there or not, you're going to get it done.
Yep.
Yeah.
I saw you guys, a great example of that is your whole crew might've been last. No, it wasn't last Friday. It was Tuesday. All of you guys were done with class and then you were on the barbell side, really pushing each other hard, doing like, just like some dumbbell bench accessory, working hard, pushing good weight around after you're tired, like trying to maintain and keep your strength. And it was a crew of you guys, like 8 of you guys, like spotting elbows and like really working. And I'm like, this is awesome. And you're all fit as hell. Like just, I saw the gauntlet of stuff you had just gone through. And to that point, if you're pulling up your app and you had just gone through that work,
you did an hour of moving nonstop, high heart rate, and you see 4x12 dumbbell incline bench progressive. Yeah. You're like, I don't know if I really want to do this.
I'm going to shelf that one tomorrow. Or the hour before it would have been, I'd say maybe paced at a different level.
Yeah.
You know,
certainly.
That's what I would, I mean, I just know if I had that, like, okay, I'm going to do all this work on my own. There's definitely a different feeling when someone's just nosing ahead of you all the time. You're like, Hey, stop. Mm-hmm. Like, Wednesday this week, there was a guy, and again, it was a very inconsequential all levels workout. I'm just trying to move. I'm not even doing like the higher end level of it. The first round, I was kind of pushing it. He just got out ahead of me and I'm like, I'm going to transition quick here. I don't like this. And I just hustled, whatever the movement was, I remember running back to my rower, you know, with loose straps, like getting it going really quick and like, kind of like eyeing over. And for the rest of the work, I got ahead off that row and I stayed. Mm-hmm. If that room's empty, I'm getting quite a bit less.
Your intensity will be down. Yeah.
Way down. You know, that's just the thought, like in my head, I'm like, I'm not going to push that hard, you know? So that group training environment, there really is something to having that team. And even I think what happened with, I don't know how they set these up, whether it's the bigger camps like Mayhem or Brute Strength. I think most of them, like the really higher end athletes, they're trying to get these guys training around each other and camps now.
So most of them, they'll do their own like pieces throughout the day. Yep. And like most of the time, like once a week or stuff, they'll get together and they'll all work out, like do the same one. Like, okay. I know Mayhem every Monday or every Tuesday, they do all the athletes, no matter what their program is that day, they have to come and do this workout.
Gotcha. Yeah. Because there is definitely something to that.
Yeah.
Like you have to, I mean, any combative sport I've done, anything like hitting the bag or doing, you know, running this whole thing on your own, there's definitely a different intensity and grind to it. And there's a lot to being said, I think, of something that no one ever talks about, seeing really good movement around you, you pick up on it. Mm. So if you see someone hit, it's a subtle thing. You see someone hit a snatch in a certain way and you kind of like catches your eye and you change your movement like 2% and it like something clicks. That's just an example. You pick up things through seeing this good movement around you. Someone like smoothly squat cleans a med ball into like, you're like, oh, that looked kind of cool. You know, a way that they're jumping, they're doing a box jump over where their foot kind of like slides off the box in a really smooth way. There's a lot of nuanced things that you're going to see training around people who are really good, handstand walking, all these skills, like someone kipping up a rope on a rope climb. If you're watching videos, it's different than when you're seeing it in real time, right up close. Do you notice that when you're just training with
Absolutely.
People? Okay.
Yeah. And the other thing is like the people in that class, even though we're all competing against each other, like we want everyone to succeed. Yep. Like for example, last night I was coaching for James. I did a 6:30 class and I look over in the L2 side and it's empty. Besides there's Whitney working on muscle ups. And then around her were like three people from that class helping her out. Like just people that like, I mean, would be on her team or would be fighting against her. And now they're helping her out, doing her muscle ups, giving her different cues, stuff like that. These are all people that, because we're there every day, we know everyone's strengths and weaknesses and we can all help each other to raise everyone up.
Yeah.
Whereas if you're by yourself, you're sending videos to a coach that are hundreds of miles away, you don't get instant feedback and you don't get better as faster.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm not saying that there's nothing good about, you know, these individual programs and coaching. I have clients that I have a small book of clients that I do individual design. A lot of them who are old members here and that I send individual designs and workouts and they send me videos and I actually do that service and do a little bit of that. You do as well. Mm-hmm. And it can be really effective. I've got a girl who's, you know, prepping for the open and, you know, up in New York and she's coming along really well and is really, she's doing a great job with that. I do ideally think though, in you know, a perfect world that you have that training camp group around you really, really helps. It does. I mean, I even remember, you know, at the old, I'll go back to this at the old Rogue Gym, like Dave and Graham had each other to grind against and Dan Bailey would come in and people like that. They had that really elite group of guys who were, you know, the three of them were top 10 in the world, you know, and they got to see this, like, if you didn't see that level, it was hard to know what that level was. And they get to see it against each other and kind of grind against each other. You know, when they were training. And then later on when Dave started coaching at another gym and then Dan started doing his own thing, Graham would basically bring in Marcus Hendren to train against him in the 6 weeks before the open. Like they had to have a sparring partner to like mm-hmm. work out and be like, okay, I wasn't going as fast as I thought I needed to go in these workouts. We have to like race this stuff to understand. And it would help. I mean, it would polish them up a ton, you know, right before the games. So they got their game speed going and you guys are getting that all year, year in and year out. I just see that it's such a good developmental program because you learn like what real game speed is. And you can't, I guess in essence, really bullshit yourself too much, mm-hmm. which mm-hmm. you can do a bit on a app and training app and you can't do it in the group. Yeah. You know where you stand.
Yeah. Well, the other thing with the group, I mean, it's what CrossFit's putting out a lot right now. The community aspect, right? Community's not going to bring people in, results will, but community gets people to stay.
Yeah.
Like for example, we had Alberto's birthday party 2 weeks ago, 30 people went to this Nerf war place just to hang out with
that
each
looked,
other.
That looks sweet.
Yeah. It was really I was
looking
cool.
at
yeah.
videos and stuff of that. It looked like you guys had a lot of fun.
Yeah.
That was cool.
And it was everyone that trains together every day. Monday through Saturday. And then on weekend nights or stuff, they just go out and they go to the bars or they go and party together.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
That's really cool. Well, yeah, I just wanted to like bring you in because we don't have you on enough where I wanted to just let people know kind of what's going on our competitive side. Because a lot of times, you know, we have Dave, Kate, and I, who we talk about, we zoom out a lot now. We're old and we're not talking, we're not talking about pushing our training times and our loading. And, you know, we're not talking a lot of like 5x5 against like a conjugate, what's going to get you the best deadlift type stuff anymore. Like that's a little bit, off our radars as far as like what we're personally working on and from a training standpoint. But what a lot of people like, and I'm still into it, and I think it's really cool, is this high-end performance and this sport is so cool. And I think, you know, what I've seen in the last, a lot of people have, you know, they raised some affiliate fees and things like that and have gotten down on CrossFit. And I even, you know, got into a little bit of like talking into some of that. But what I've seen actually really recently is CrossFit's really doubled down and focusing on, they need to make money, and they have to make money. They like really need to like start making money for this company that bought CrossFit. And the only way to do that is to make this sport really cool and to bring people in the way it was 7 or 8 years ago. And so I think the future of this is going to be really cool. And I think if we can just hold, if we can hold steady and keep making people level up and get better year after year, which over the last 2 or 3 years, you've taken the level of what we had up. You've rose the tide so much that when the rules do come around to eventually, I think it will bring the affiliates back in it to some point, whether they do a team division and an affiliate division, something like that, they need the affiliates to thrive. I think they're figuring that out and they're even talking about it a lot. And the way to bring athletes into CrossFit, more of them into it, is to make this team division or an affiliate cup division, I think, a bigger part of the games, because that is the bigger funnel. And that's what I think really made the sport so big from, you know, 2011 through about 2016, was they had this big funnel where you have 7 or 8 North American regionals with 6-person teams and 30 teams in each one, instead of 2 with 30 and 4-person teams. I'm terrible at math, but how many more athletes is that you have competing at a regional level and going, yep, and you have 100 people watching you from your gym and screaming for you in the stands. And now, right now, you're traveling halfway across the country to an empty place, you know, and it's just maybe one close friend or family member watching you. It's a little different. I think they're going to want to start getting back a little bit, mm-hmm, more into that to bring the affiliates and just the athlete participation in general up a bit. Because when you see that carrot at the end of the stick, that's a little more attainable, I think it's going to bring more people in. I don't know. That's just my soapbox rant constantly about the sport. You've heard the same talk from me 50 times, but I don't know. You're doing a fantastic job. I couldn't be happier with the progress of that program, and I'm going to continue to support it. I just had a conversation with Brad. We had a quarterly review. You know, so many gyms went away from this, I think right around 2018 or 19. Like, we're essentially giving up on the competitive aspect of CrossFit. And while personally, right around that time, I did, I'm like, this aspirational aspect of fitness is what got me into CrossFit. Okay. And what gets a lot of people into CrossFit, people get into CrossFit because they see someone who's very fit doing really cool things and they want to be more like that. Maybe they don't think that they're going to do that, or they don't want to put the work in to actually do that, But that aspirational aspect of fitness is really important. And that's why it's there. It's not a financial huge money maker or anything for the gym. But what it does is it creates that tip of the spear for us to look at. And I look at it every day and it gets me fired up. I'm like, man, maybe if this shit comes back together. You know? Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know, you've always got that thought. And whether or not that's really going to happen, but what it does is it's something to look at and to aspire to and to be inspired by. Mm-hmm. And that's why I always want to keep that for our gym and for our program, because I think it's very important to see what people can do and how hard they can push and, you know, to really try to give every athlete the chance to get as good as they can get. And that's what I always want to do, is like provide that path. It's like, I remember in high school, I had a buddy who did, it's like some beyond AP calc, like math class. He had like three people in his class. You know, he took a bus like to different schools. Mm-hmm. Like when we were growing up, that class was like, you know, they're paying a teacher to teach that class. And there's like two or three kids there that are like getting bussed in from like other places to take that class. That's not what you would call like a necessary maybe use of resources, but it is like, it's important to foster that like genius or that, you know, that athletic ability and like harness it into like, hey, we're going to let these guys take this as far as we can go. And that's, I'm trying to provide you the tools and the resources to do that and keep working hard and doing what you're doing.
Thank you.
Yeah. I don't know. Do you have anything to add here at the end? Like,
no, I got it. I'm just excited to see next week, to see who comes out and who makes the team. And then we change gears to full on quarterfinal open prep.
Cool. Well, we'll end up doing too, gang, if you're interested in this conversation and just where we're going, usually wherever we end the season. So whether it's semifinals, quarterfinals, the games, after that, we're going to go ahead and do another one of these for a recap.
Okay.
So we'll do this. We'll recap how everything went and then changes for the next year that we want to do to try and get better.
Perfect.
Yep. All right, guys, we'll catch you next week.